Back on First Up, Karolnik and Koliakova with you, our fourth and final hour of the day, fourth and final hour of the week as well on the show. We'll welcome in Spiro Dedis from CBS Sports, from Westwood One in just a moment. And I came across this piece of information, which I found to be very interesting. And do you remember in the NFL preseason, Carlo, when we talked about the Deshaun Watson story almost every day? And rightfully so, it was the Cleveland Browns traded for him. They give him this massive guaranteed contract. And then it was, will he be suspended? And then it was, how long will he be suspended? Well, he ended up getting suspended for 12 games. And the suspension is up next week when the Cleveland Browns play the Houston Texans. And it's a game that Spiro Dedis, again, who will join us in just a second, will actually be on the call for. But it's interesting that we've kind of forgotten about Deshaun Watson, how great he was. But I don't really know what to expect from him, considering not only this season, like not playing at all.
He hasn't played in two years.
He didn't play last year either. Yeah. So for Cleveland, a team that has been pretty junk. They're 3-7. Their defense sucks. I mean, beyond Nick Chubb, there's not many redeeming qualities about that team. Can Deshaun Watson pull some rabbit out of the hat and make them perhaps a viable playoff contender in the AFC? Unlikely, but I am intrigued to see what he's got left in the tank. I mean, I think he's 25 or 26 years old, but again, a two-year layoff for a quarterback, that's not going to be an easy thing to overcome.
No, it's definitely not. It's exciting for, you know, Deshaun Watson, because you remember him for how great he was in his years in Houston, but what can you really expect with him after having 2 years off? And does it change the Cleveland Browns outcome? I don't think so. I think Jacoby Brissett has done a pretty good job, you know, filling in at quarterback position. Their defense can't make a stop. They can't make a big play for that team to help them get a win, and that's why they're having the season that they're having.
Yeah, Cleveland hosts your Tampa Bay Buccaneers, your favorite NFL team, this weekend. You love Tampa. You're a big fan of Tampa.
No,
you think they're great.
I love Tampa. I just think that they're the team nobody's giving enough credit for.
No. You think they're the best team in the NFC. You've said that.
I do.
You've said that.
Yeah.
And I think that's craziness. I think that's crazy. I think that Cleveland will beat Tampa on Sunday.
Wager?
Well, I mean, I think that they're 4-point dogs.
You just said you think they'll beat them straight up.
So give me the spread.
How does that make any sense? You just made a claim to me saying that you think Cleveland's going to beat them, and
I will bet.
I say wager, and you say no. Give me points.
I will bet you.
How does that
work? One bowl of Italian wedding soup at the TSN cafeteria.
Soup bet.
The Browns, my brownies, will come up big because you know they're going to relish their last days without that creep Deshaun Watson coming in and hanging out with them in their locker room. So we'll see how that goes. That's one game that I'm be looking forward to this weekend. And as we mentioned before the break, some huge spreads in a couple of games. Kansas City, a 15.5-point favorite, hosting the LA Rams. Man, the Rams, a team.
They're done.
Talk about being done. Like, just completely finished. Yeah. They're starting a guy named Bryce Perkins at quarterback.
Never heard of him.
No Cooper Kupp. No chance for the
Stafford,
Rams. And no Stafford. It's totally over for
another
for the
big
Rams.
Spread on the board is the Miami Dolphins against the Houston Texans. And joining us right now on the line, AK,
our man Spiro Dedis, one of my favorite broadcasters, and I'm not just saying that. I don't often say this, but Spiro Dedis is one of my favorite guys, a play-by-play voice for CBS Sports and Westwood One, and he is in the call for the Dolphins and the Texans. Probably the only redeeming quality about that game is Spiro Dedis. What's going on, Spiro?
The only time I agree to do interviews is when the host gives me that kind of an intro.
That's true, buddy. It's true.
There you go.
I hate most of our guests, but I love you. go ahead, Carlo.
Man. Thank you. I appreciate it.
You're doing the game this weekend, Miami versus Houston. Obviously, Miami's been a great story this year in the NFL, largely in part because of, you know, the offense behind Tua and their two great wide receivers in Waddle and Hill. But what's your scouting report been for this game?
Well, obviously Houston's in a really bad spot. I mean, there's no way to sugarcoat what's going on with the Texans. last year, the question was, you know, what's going to happen with Deshaun Watson? How are they going to get themselves out of this? What kind of deal can Nick Caserio, their GM, make to put the franchise back on track? You know, they figure that out, but unfortunately, the quarterback situation is unresolved. And, you know, there was a hope, obviously, that Davis Mills is their answer, at least maybe not long term, but at least in the short term. Unfortunately for them, doesn't appear to be the case. They're going to make a change, I think, this week, according to the reports that we're getting. And
yeah, Kyle Allen.
But, you know, so it's a challenging time, certainly, for the Texans. But if you're a fan of the Dolphins, I mean, this is a resurgence like they haven't seen, you know, maybe since the days of Marino and the Mark brothers, Duper and Clayton. I mean, it's a super fun team to watch. Just amazing what a difference a year makes in terms of the coaching. And I think the biggest part of the story, guys, for the Dolphins is Mike McDaniel. When the hire was made, you know, the casual NFL fan was, you know, raised some eyebrows, you know, was not a really well-known commodity. Not only had never been a head coach at any level, but only 1 year as a coordinator at the NFL level. So there was an unknown factor with him. But I think that Mike McDaniel is now walking proof that coaching matters, and all you need to do is look at Tua. You know, Tua is the same guy he was last year, but suddenly the scheme and the system and the relationship that he has with his head coach are night and day with what they were under Brian Flores. I mean, their offensive coordinator situation was not good last year, to put it mildly. You know, there was a question, who's calling the plays? Tua was clearly not comfortable. I know he's had the injuries that he's dealt with the last couple of years, but, you know, the impact that Mike McDaniel has had on Tagovailoa has been stark, and I think you're seeing the results for the team.
Our guest is Spiro Dinas from CBS Sports and Westwood One. Let's shift our focus to the NFC, and we saw a couple of contenders in the NFC playing yesterday on American Thanksgiving, where the Dallas Cowboys, they beat the Giants. The Minnesota Vikings, a very impressive offensive performance. They beat the Patriots, and we've been having this debate for a couple of weeks, Spiro, as to who is the cream of the crop in the NFC. I think there's a lot of question marks. The Eagles haven't played very well the last couple of weeks. We know the Vikings are very up and down. The San Francisco 49ers started out poorly. They seem to be ascending. And then the personal pick for my colleague here, my co-host, Carlo, he likes the Tampa Bay Buccaneers in the NFC. Is there a team that you think is going to emerge? Well, I guess there will be one eventually, but who do you like in the NFC to ultimately come out on top?
Well, you know, I think the uniqueness and the fun part of this season is that there is no clear dominant team. I think we've seen a number of teams, and you just mentioned it, most of them dominate for stretches and have periods of play where they look like they could be the team that comes out of the conference. But suddenly, there's vulnerabilities with every one of those teams. I mean, we had the Eagles early in the season, and I think for the first 6-7 weeks of the year, I mean, they looked invincible. Jalen Hurts having a similar type year that Tua is having in Miami. You know, the defense looked fierce. Nick Sirianni was pushing all the right buttons, and you thought, wow, maybe this could be the Eagles' year. Suddenly, they look like they're a little bit vulnerable after the loss that they had. Dallas, you know, after the performance yesterday, they're kind of back on top. And you think, boy, you know, this could be a year that the Cowboys have enough and have the horses again to make a serious push into the postseason. But this is the great part of this year, guys. I mean, you could make a case, I think, for any number of teams. You know, the Giants' scoring differential is not great. Same with the Minnesota Vikings. But you look up, and their records are pretty good. I mean, Minnesota right now sitting at 9-2 atop the NFC North, and the Giants, even after that loss yesterday, are 7-4 and are obviously well within striking distance in the NFC East. So I think these next couple of weeks, 3, 4, 5 weeks, we'll have a pretty good idea of which of these teams are going to come out. I think Tampa at this point, boy, I think you're, you know, maybe going out a little bit on a limb at making that prediction. But look, to second guess Tom Brady or to put anything past Tom Brady, I think is fool's gold. And we saw them even in their Super Bowl year, right? I mean, they started really poorly, and then they turned it on the second half of the season. So yeah, they could very well be capable of making a run here down the stretch as well.
Yeah, 2-0 as a single guy too. Tom Brady is.
Yeah. Who knows? Maybe that's what he needs to clear his mind.
Right.
That's it.
And that's just a fun stat. When you look at the NFC West, you see the San Francisco 49ers making a late charge, but you also see the Seattle Seahawks be one of the biggest surprise teams of the NFL this year. Who do you think ultimately perseveres in that division? Do you think the Seahawks are for real, or do you think San Fran is starting to turn it on and take over?
You know, I'm a huge Pete Carroll guy. And I just think he obviously has had a legendary run up in Seattle, Super Bowl championship, and you know, teams that contended for so many years. But I think you can put what he is doing with this current group, guys, up there with anything else he's done. Obviously, the Super Bowl season stands alone. But to me, you really see the value of a coach when you don't have the best group of players and you're still able to put a contending team out there. And if Seattle wins that division and makes a run in the postseason, you know, it's just another example of how great this guy is as a coach. You know, the year after they trade Russell, everyone thought and assumed that this would be maybe not a full rebuilding year, but certainly a year where they had to retool the roster and, you know, would need a full season to get things back on track. But to be contending for the division right after making that trade of your franchise player, I just think speaks volumes. San Francisco, you know, Kyle Shanahan, another one of these new age coaches who's just phenomenal, puts guys in a position to win week in and week out, season in and season out. And, you know, San Francisco right up there as well. I mean, they've had their own issues with the quarterback, obviously, with the injuries and, you know, wanting Trey Lance to assume the mantle. That obviously hasn't worked out yet due to injuries, but another fun division. I mean, this is, it seems like we've been saying it for the last couple of years. You know, the parity in the NFL just seems to be getting better and better.
Yeah.
And this is this season, man. It's wild how many teams actually have a chance as we sit here getting ready for, you know, what is this, week 12 of the season.
Yeah. Spiro Ditas, our guest. And Spiro, we've got about a minute left, but I want to get your thoughts on a game you're doing next week. Deshaun Watson's return to Houston. He's been suspended for the first 12 games. I guess he's eligible to start next week. I don't know if I guess he probably will. But what type of reception are you anticipating Watson to get back in Houston for the first time? I guess his first time back in the NFL in almost 2 years.
Yeah, talk about a crazy set of circumstances, man. The football gods, every once in a while, they give us these juicy storylines. I mean, the guy hasn't played in 2 years, and here he comes in his first games in Houston. It's just crazy. I think it's unfortunate that the Texans are not having a great year. I think if they were, that atmosphere in the stadium would just be crazy, and it still may be. But there seems to be an antipathy now with the Texans. You know, the stadium hasn't been too filled. So hopefully next week it'll be fun. Cleveland to me is a surprise team in how much they've struggled, guys. I mean, to think that they're 3-7, you know, to have the defensive issues that they have with the players that they have on that defense has been really surprising to me. Unfortunately, I think Kevin Stefanski is on shaky ground right now. So, you know, who knows? Maybe Deshaun Watson's arrival is the first step to that franchise figuring things out. But I think it's just another example, guys, of the NFL more than any other sport. If you don't have a quarterback, you can have a legit defense, you could have legit offensive weapons, but if you don't figure out that position, you just don't have a chance to compete, at least not consistently. And the Cleveland Browns, you know, it's been an eternal search for a quarterback, and you consider what they gave up to get Deshaun. They paid a real heavy price for this guy, and they have so much committed now to him being that long-term solution. So, you know, I know I've got a lot of buddies in Cleveland. It's been a rough year for them, and Deshaun Watson cannot arrive soon enough. Let's put it that way, and hopefully for their sake, he plays as well as I hope he can.
Spiro, thank you so much for doing this. Have a great call. You're doing the Dolphins and Texans game, and then, yes, the Browns and the Texans. A lot of Houston for Spiro Ditas coming up in the next couple of weeks. Enjoy that. Thanks for this, man.
I'm a connoisseur of Houston Texans football. Thanks, guys.
Someone has to be. That is Spiro Ditas, CBS Sports and Westwood One. My FanDuel Best Bets coming up to wrap up today's program and wrap up the week here on First Up.